Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of Young Hollywood Actors and the Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on the Hometown to Hollywood podcast is Abby Johnson. Abby is a talent manager with Green Room Management in Los Angeles. Abby, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so happy that you are here. I was looking at your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
And I discovered that you actually have a BA in entertainment management and broadcast journalism.
Yes.
That's amazing, by the way, because that's not super normal.
Common. No, not common at all.
It's not common.
Yeah.
How much do you think your degree has prepared you to be a good talent manager?
Yeah, not at all. So, you know, and this is funny too, that little kids are like, hey, I want to be a talent manager when I grow up. I don't even think many people know what the position is until you get into the industry and it kind of finds you. So I went to school at University of Nevada, Las Vegas. So my courses were all Las Vegas entertainment shows, on the road music, management, things like that. So I actually wasn't even sure that it would be something I wanted to do. My path happened through, I was studying journalism. Journalism was my major, and I did the campus news. I was a news anchor. I thought I wanted to be a reporter one day. I started that, hated being in front of the camera.
Interesting.
It was awful.
Were you surprised?
Just awful. I thought I was going to love it. Yeah, I thought I was going to love it. But that feeling, like when the lights would go on and my heart would drop, and it just was not my thing. But I enjoyed the backside of it and the production and putting it together. And that's actually what took me to LA, because I thought I wanted to be in production, in that aspect of it. So that's where I started, but then I ended up falling in love with the management division of it.
That's so
it
so
all kind of came full circle in certain ways. But my coursework there had no help in what I do now. I just had to like learn it as I go here. So
that's good. That's just good to know.
I mean,
you know, no slam on the programs out there, because I believe in higher education,
yeah.
And you never know, you know, what can be useful. But
right, and I think for somebody who is interested, like music management and like a touring manager, it's a whole different position than what we do with TV film actors. So I think it would have prepared me if I went that route. But I didn't.
That's good information.
Yeah.
Well, so then how actually did you get your start working as a talent manager?
So I was finishing up my degree, and I moved out to LA to do an internship with a production company, management company in Santa Monica. And there I started as the intern, got promoted to an assistant. And then my boss at the time said, hey, it seems like you're really enjoying this. I was putting in a lot of work. I loved speaking with the clients. That was my favorite part of it. And he brought me on as a junior manager. So he allowed me to start signing my own clients and kind of guided me through all of that. And that's where I fell in love with it.
Let's talk about that for a second, you know, because I'm talking more and more to young people who are like, yeah, I think I'd love to be a X, mm-hmm. that isn't necessarily an actor, mm-hmm. but maybe, you know, a producer or an agent or a talent manager.
Yeah.
But there seems to be some resistance to the sort of working up through the ranks piece, which is how everybody I know mm-hmm. got started in a position like that. Mm-hmm. Nobody just lets you be a producer one day or lets you be a talent manager one day.
No, you have to put in the work. You have to put in the work and realize, like, it wasn't a cozy position for me. I was bartending on the weekends because I was working on a commission structure. Obviously, there's other routes to take. You can do the mailroom, the assistant position, you know, work at a big agency and work your way. And a lot of my colleagues and friends in the industry did it that way. I just took a different route because that was happened for me organically. But yeah, you have to put in the work. You have to put in the work, and you have to be, you know, meeting people, and it's really becomes a big part of your life rather than just like clocking in and clocking out. Like, I'm, you know, even now I'm always on my last thing I do before I go to bed, email. First thing in the morning, email, you know, always checking my phone, all of that. And it's always been that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's another thing. I mean, really, really good talent managers and agents in this particular conversation, you guys are a special breed of cat, mm-hmm. because you have to love that. You have to love
oh, yeah.
being available for your clients essentially 24/7. I mean, I know from my own experience, when stuff happens, mm-hmm. you know, stuff, life doesn't stop at certain hours. Yeah. And when it's a professional high-stakes situation, you need a manager who's willing to be able to be there and be available for
you. Oh, absolutely. And you have to, that's why it's really important to work with people you enjoy working with who treat you respectful and in both ways, because I need to care. Like I need yeah. to care. And that's why I'm really big on just sussing out each individual's characteristics. And if it's a child, the parents and what they're like and how respectful they are of me. And that's a really big part of it, because that's what it is. It's all, you know, weekends, nights, no matter when they're working on set or auditioning or whatever it may be. Yeah.
That's the thing. Set life is not 9 to 5, and nope. It's not Monday through Friday.
It certainly isn't.
There are night shoots. There are weekend shoots.
Yeah. It's our life. It is our life. I mean, for actors, managers, I think agents alike, you know, obviously you try to have your hobbies outside of work. But for the most part, this is really more of a lifestyle than clocking out.
Yeah.
But that's also why I love it, you
yeah.
know?
So. Well, you're obviously really, really well suited to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love what you said about, you know, I have to care, because there's so much truth in that. And I talk to a lot of parents of young actors, especially who are getting involved, and, you know, they're trying to figure out who to, you know, if they're doing meetings with their kid, you know, mm-hmm. trying to get them in front of potential managers, and agents, you know, who to go with. And, you know, my gut feeling is always, okay, if you have some choices, go with the one where you feel an absolutely authentic
Definitely.
Connection, a
Definitely.
Personal connection.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be there for you mm-hmm. at some crazy hour when you need help, you need someone to step in and support you, mm-hmm. or, you know what I mean?
Yes. Go with who your gut is feeling and who you feel you can talk to the best. You know, I think with management, it's a different situation. It's not always like the big, bright, shiny name. It's really you're signing with the individual, because that person is, I mean, managers, you know, we're like the best friend character. We're in some cases, like a therapist character. In some cases, you know, some cases business. So there's so many layers to the manager client or client's parent relationship that you need to be fully trusting in the person too.
Yeah.
So I say the same thing. And when I meet with a potential client, I tell them, take all the meetings you can. I'm not worried about it, because I want you to be making the best decision for yourself and not wondering, like, you know, what if I went somewhere else? Like I really want it to be 100%, because I don't want to work with somebody for a year or 2 years. I want to work with them their entire career, you
yeah.
know, and build it. Cause that's the exciting part of it.
It is
building the career.
It
yeah.
is. And I so love that you said that too, because I think there's a lot of anxiety, you know, for, again, parents of young actors or just, you know, actors, like, well, you know, I'm not sure. It's like you need to be sure. It's like any mm-hmm. other important relationship mm-hmm. in your life.
Yes. Yes. And it's the most important thing to you is your career, especially for actors. Like they, you know, eat, live and breathe it. And so you need that person who you can fully trust, and same for us.
Yeah.
In reverse when working with clients.
It yeah. actually, it goes equally
yeah.
both directions.
Yeah.
So how exactly does a talent manager work for their clients? You know, I think a lot of people believe that once you get a manager, I got a manager, you know, I'm set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could you clarify what a manager actually does and does not do for an actor?
Yeah. So I think getting your first manager is, I do think there's a lot of mentality that, okay, I'm set. Like, things are going to come my way, and, like, here we go. We're getting work. I'm getting jobs. But that's just the beginning. Getting a manager or getting an agent, specifically your first, is the beginning of the work, the beginning of the partnership. You just started the company, and what are we going to do now? So yeah, I think that you have to have the mentality that, like, okay, we're in this now, and we're going to work. And until something pops, and just listening to the advice that we give, there's always going to, at different levels of your career, there's always going to be different things that we're telling you to, you know, to do. And so listening is a big part of it too. So yeah.
What would you say, I see a lot of you know, I mean, it's a perennial issue with actors feeling like they're not getting enough auditions, you know, like, yeah. I'm not getting enough auditions.
Yeah.
You know, what would you say to an actor who's got that complaint right mm-hmm. now? Like, I'm not getting enough. My manager's not, my mm-hmm. agent's not sending me out on enough auditions.
It seems like that's more the case than the opposite, for right. sure. You have to know that the timing is going to be different for everyone. Not comparing yourself to your friends, not comparing yourself to other actors in acting class, that's not going to help in any way. You have to know that you're on your own path, and it's, you know, it's a marathon, not a race, you know, as cheesy as it sounds. Like, you really have to realize that, and you have to be really, really good so that when those opportunities do come along, that you're trained and your knowledge, like, scour IMDb Pro if you have an audition, and, you know, look up the director and the producer and all these things. And as you begin to engulf yourself in all of that, I think the opportunities will come more naturally. But you can't compare it. You can't compare, you know, what auditions your friends are getting, because so much of it is just part of the game.
Yeah.
It's just, it'll come, and the right opportunities will come your way. And if it doesn't, you know, there's, like, the answers, new headshots, new reels, doing some student films to get more material for your reel. There's all these little answers that can happen that you need to really hustle on. You can't allow your manager or agent to do that work for you. You need to be doing that work for yourself and creating a package. And why are you valuable to certain, you know, productions, to a casting director?
I like that. No, yeah. it's your life, and it's your career at the end of the day, and it's your responsibility.
It is.
You know,
yeah.
A manager and an agent can only do so much.
You can only do so much. And just thinking about, like, when you do go in to important casting offices for important auditions, what are you bringing to the table that's different? Or are you doing the same thing that all 20 actors before you just did, and not following the specific rules or a specific formula to showcase, you know, what you're doing? You have to kind of, like, let some of your care go and go with your instinct on character decisions you're making. And that's what's going to wow people. You know,
I love that. And it's so true, because if you go in and you're the 20th person in a row who looks like you and who does exactly the same thing, you're not going to book it.
Exactly the same thing. And that's when you have to care. You have to be proactive about your career. You have to have, you know, your stuff together. But also there's an element to it of just kind of letting it be what be. I have a 6-year-old who works a ton, and his mom called me last week. He went into an audition. The casting director says, "Hey, like, are you excited to be here?" He goes, "No." Because he was nervous. He wasn't excited. She goes, "Why did you say you weren't excited?" And he's like, "Well, because I wasn't. I was nervous. So I was just, you know, I was being honest." And then he does his scene, and then they say, "Great job. You know, do you want to do it again?" "No. I was happy with that one." And, you know, he booked the role because, like, that's how he works. And there's an element to that of, like, just truthfulness that I think lacks as you get older. You start worrying about all these different, what am I coming off as? Like, what do they think of me? They said good job. Does that mean I booked it? And, like, no, let it all go.
I love that.
Let it all go.
That is such good advice. And honestly, it's when Dove stepped into that space that she started booking consistently. And that
absolutely.
Was,
it's a
me,
powerful feeling, I'm sure, too.
Yeah.
You know, to see that difference, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
Fabulous advice. what do you think makes for a good manager or a great manager? Let's go for great. What makes a great manager?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously there's two sides to what a manager does. A lot of it is the agent deal, you know, pitching and submitting clients, getting them opportunities, pushing for the best possible negotiations in a contract along with their agent, if they have one, attorney, if they have one. So there's all of that, and having the knowledge of that, which most of us learn over the years after doing deals and things like that. And then the other side is more of the personal touch. And I feel like that's probably what is the biggest factor in why a lot of actors feel the need to have a manager in their life. And that's the care and being for them. And not only the great times, you know, going to set is fun. Going to premieres are fun. I love that stuff. I love it. I love it. I love it. But aside of the manager that not a lot of people realize is also like the hard phone calls and those hard answers, the rejections, letting them know the agency is dropping them. There's so much of that. And so I think being able to explain those things to the client, but keep their head up, keep them knowing that they're still doing the right thing. It's hard to find. It's hard to find that balance because we all want to be happy and be having bookings all the time, but that's not the reality of the business either.
It's not.
Yeah.
And in truth, you know, a lot of what you're talking about, the agent just doesn't have the bandwidth for. Agents may have hundreds of clients. Likely they have hundreds of clients. Managers have many fewer clients, and that's because you spend a lot more time and there's a lot more hand-holding and there's a lot more sort of shared surface area with each client.
Yes, exactly. And so having, being able to have that open communication with each of my clients is really important. And knowing that, okay, I can give you this information, but we can't let ourselves sit in it. Like we have to pick it up and keep going. I'm on your team. If you're on my roster, I believe in you 100% and we're like doing it. Like we're not stopping until we get there. So, and wherever there is, by the way, because yeah, who knows? Who's, like there's no definition of like, you know.
Where is there?
You know, winning the, you know, the Oscar? I don't know, but ask somebody who won an Oscar. I'm sure they're not, you know, where they completely want
to
be.
There's still another mountain to climb after the Oscar.
Always. But that's the journey of it. And so finding people that you enjoy working with and, you know, can find also humor. I think a big part of it is just, you know, finding humor in some of the craziness of our business that not a lot of industries have is relieving.
I love that.
Yeah.
I agree completely. There's a lot of like just absurdity and hilarity, and it's all available, and it helps to lighten things up when things just are hard sometimes.
I mean, who in what other industry, you know, can somebody go 2 months without hearing an answer about a job opportunity?
So long that you forgot that you even auditioned for you,
exactly. It's like, it's just crazy. I read this, this thing the other day, and it was talking about how in most industries, people will interview for 2 or 3 months in order to work somewhere for 2 or 3 years. As an actor, you interview for 2 or 3 years, work lucky, if you're lucky, 2 or 3 months. And I'm like, that's it. Like, that's bam. Like, that's everything. And people need to understand that.
Yeah.
You know? So.
That's good. I may have to, that may be a Instagram tile, that one.
Totally. And not to mention, you usually can't hear what's going on in the interview before you. Whereas an actor, it's like, you can hear the producer and the actor, you know, chatting and catching up and all of that, and maybe you've never met them, so you think that they have a leg up, and then you're about to go in and just a whole deal.
That's not intimidating.
I can't even imagine.
and then the sign-in sheet where you can see who's in behind ahead of you.
Yes.
Very early on in Dove's career, she signed in right behind Elle Fanning for something. She's why am I here? Why? Let's just walk right out the door right now.
Yes, right. I know. And then you have that mentality that's really, really hard to let go of and just do your thing.
Yeah.
So there's just so many layers to an actor's career that add that, you know, absurd challenge.
Yeah. You really, I mean, to me, the most successful actors of any age, by the way, part of their success is that they have a handle on their emotions. They have a handle on their internal condition, on their self-talk.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. And you have to have parents that are the same way. You know, if something falls through, if a deal doesn't go your way, goes to another actor, it needs to be a family thing too, where we say we're gonna be okay. Like, this is the industry we chose to be in, and it's gonna be okay. And it will
the be
the right role will come along, and it will make sense why your path has gone the way it has.
Exactly. What would you say? There's so much confusion about the differences between agents and managers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how would you articulate the difference between an agent and a manager?
Yeah, that's probably the number one question I get, even with friends who know what I do, but they still think I'm an agent because there's such a fine line. And I think as the industry has changed, I think 10 years ago, you know, it was more of an old school style where the manager was on the phone giving directions to the callback or going to callbacks with them, whatever it may be. But now it really is a very similar position in that we all just want the opportunities. We just want the client to work. But yes, end of day, I do not want my clients bugging the agent about things that we should be talking about because they need to do their jobs. They have to have the amount of clients they have in order to keep the lights on. So they have to hustle in that area, and anything else that falls under auditions should be coming through us, and having those conversations with us, whether it be deciding to do something different with your hair or, you know, deciding to pass on a certain project for whatever reason, or a million other things I can't even think of at the moment. But that stuff should not be wasted on the agent's time. And that's what any agents I work with, they know I try to take that off of them as soon as it comes, if the client's trying to reach out to them about that. So I think that's the biggest difference. And just, yeah, roster size. Roster size is hugely important. You know, a manager shouldn't have 100 clients. They should be really focusing in on the small amount of actors that they have. And then also, a reason why I love managing for the future, I haven't gotten into it yet, is I would love to be able to produce with my clients. And that's something that managers can do.
Mm-hmm.
So they can, you know, if I have a couple writers on my roster and they're working on things and being able to create their own series or movies, that's really exciting to me, and I hope to be doing that in like the next 5 years.
That's a super exciting creative thing that's mm-hmm. happening more and more and more. And
yeah.
I find that really interesting
too. Yeah, and being able to write the stories you want to see out there. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important, not just taking work that comes your way, but creating.
You mentioned a second ago conversations about maybe passing on
mm-hmm.
an opportunity. And I think that people don't think or talk about that very much. There's such a focus on like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like I need the audition. Like you just want to get the audition. You just want to get the job, the role,
yeah.
whatever. But the truth is, you know, if you want a lasting career,
yep.
you have to be thoughtful about what roles you actually take.
And that's difficult. That is so difficult. It seems like champagne problems, but it's really not. I mean, one of my guys, he had to walk from his first test deal this past pilot season, and he just wants to work. He wants to be on set. He loves the business so much, but it wasn't the right career move for him. And everybody was on the same page with it. The agent, the lawyer, myself, you know, we discussed with him the pros and cons and, you know, getting into a series, it could be 6 or more years. And so that was a tough thing. And we had many, 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 many conversations about it, but it wasn't the right move for him. And that will pay off in the long run. It absolutely will. But even just in the beginning and ethical, you know, stands that you have as a family, or especially with children, the horror films are swearing and some families are really cool with it and others aren't. And I'm totally supportive. If you're not excited to take an offer and you're all not going to be super pumped about it, then don't do it. And I'll explain to you why you should do it and you shouldn't do it, and you have to make the decision. But it's going to be something that every actor faces at some point, is passing on a job.
I love that you mentioned that, because that's something that I talk to all the people I consult with. Like, listen, we all have our boundaries, or if we don't, we should.
Yes.
We should yeah. have our boundaries.
Absolutely.
All of us as human beings.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, when you've got a young actor and a parent, you don't always discuss those boundaries, and they're not always exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really useful for parents and young actors to have that conversation. Like, what am I comfortable with? What am I not comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
Find out, you know.
Find out, and also talk with your reps about what it might mean. You know, there are a lot of, especially younger girl roles in horror films, like that's really popular. And so you see that kind of stuff come up all the time. And maybe it's, you know, maybe the kid doesn't have the skin to do that. And that's fine if they're going to end up on set and be scared of everything. But also, let, you know, I'll explain to them, production is taken care of. They know that there's a child on set they're a SAG job. Like, they're going to make sure that she's treated like a princess and not around anything that's going to harm her or mm-hmm. leave her scarred, leaving the sets. So I think those are important things to explain too, because it's not necessarily the movie you're watching behind the scenes on set. It's treated differently. So laying that all out so they don't miss a huge opportunity that could be a huge big break for them because of fear
yeah.
in certain areas.
It's really great that you point that out, because it really is. It's a complex thing. I was talking to a young girl who was on one of the zombie shows at one point. She's mm-hmm. like, you know, it was never scary because the guys who were the scary zombies on screen, we were joking around at Crafty between scenes. Like,
yeah.
Like they were my favorite
you
people.
You see that they're humans and that this is their job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So unless they're really young, like, mm-hmm. you know, under 5, and they really can't yet intellectually distinguish between real life and pretend, which is definitely kind of a gray area there.
Yeah.
Generally, the behind the scenes part is not such a problem.
Yeah, it's totally different.
That takes me to another question. What's the youngest age for an actor that you're willing to represent, and why?
Sure. So right now I have a 4-year-old, and that's the youngest I'll go, and I probably wouldn't take on more that young, just because, as for my roster, I really look at TV film opportunities, and there's not that much for the little kids. So I would say like 8-9 is usually a sweet spot when it makes sense for me to bring on a kid. A lot of print, a lot of commercial, a lot of things like that, which are great to start for the little kids. And sometimes there's like, you know, a really great recurring role playing somebody's kid on like a soap opera or on, you know, a sitcom. So those are those opportunities too. But I think 4 is my cutoff.
Yeah.
Probably not much younger, you know, even a little bit older than that. Probably not right now.
Well, and they can't even read until they're at least 5 generally.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like there's a reason that there aren't that many little kids cast in
yes.
decent sized roles.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, if you're interested in getting your kid in at that age, like, I encourage you to get there's a lot of great kids, model commercial agencies. Have them do that. Have them get on set, see if they like it, see if they enjoy it, if it's natural for them, and get them in class. And then as, you know, they get into the, you know, 8-9 age range, you can start deciding, what, you know, if it makes sense or not, or if they like it or not.
That's the thing. I mean, even like the cutest kids, it's like cute's not enough, you know, cute's
yeah.
one thing, but even the most like extroverted kids, set is its own deal, and
yeah.
they may not enjoy being on set.
They may not enjoy it, or they may not enjoy the audition process, which is the real job. So if they're not, you know, they get home from school and they do their homework and then it's time to memorize sides and do a self-tape, several takes, instead of going outside to play or, you know, going to ballet practice, because you are giving up other hobbies in order to pursue this, then maybe it's not right, or maybe it's not right now.
Yeah.
So it's just things to consider. And some kids love it. Some kids are like, yes, 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 more, more, more. And then great, keep them going until they, you know, if they decide something else. Yeah.
Yeah. Until that day when they feel otherwise.
Yes.
What would you say are some of the more challenging things about being a talent manager, and what are some of the best things?
Yeah. So I think I touched on the point before about just the delivering bad news to clients. Like, that is by far the worst part about my job. Like, I can't think of anything worse. Obviously, you know, there are actors who bounce around from rep to rep, and that's a hard thing when somebody leaves you when you've done so much work for them. So that's always a mini heartbreak for me. It takes a little while to get over, which doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's tough. And then when things don't go a client's way, because I think what actors also don't realize enough is that we have just as much heart in getting you the opportunities as you do. We're just as excited when you book the pilot. We're just as excited when you get the offer comes through. So we kind of go through similar similar feeling process. So that's probably the toughest part, is the delivering of bad news. And then the best part is being there for the good stuff and the successes, especially when you've been with somebody and, like, been working really hard. I had the opportunity with one of my guys, Reed Miller. He booked a great film that's coming out this year, Good Jobel, and it's an amazing story. It's just a fantastic story that was so close to his heart. I read the script. I'm like, this is amazing. He's opposite Mark Wahlberg, and so the audition process for that was really heavy. And during that time, like, I had been going to some callbacks with him, which I don't usually do with clients, but he needed, like, the support, so I was there.
I was gonna say that's kind of unheard of. It is in LA.
A little bit, yeah. It is. It absolutely is. But it was a Saturday, this callback, and so I said, hey, I have nothing to do today. His mom was out of town. So so I was there for him to be offered the role by the director, and being there in that moment with him. And we had a long, like, him specifically, we had a lot of, like, ups and downs. Like, he had a bunch of test deals and, like, things that fell through. So for us to be together in that moment was just amazing. And, you know, he has a great year ahead with the movie coming out and to be able to promote it and all of that. And that's just one example. I mean, anytime I get, you know, when you have, like, the agent and the manager and the lawyer on the phone and they're calling you and, like, we're all on speakerphone, like, you know, good news is coming through. So that's, like, when we're all there, we're all on that conference call, or, you know, it's just the best.
That's going to be a good call.
Best. Like, you're just, like, floating and happy and just so happy for all the work that the client does, especially when you work with really, really, really good people.
Yeah.
And you know that they're so deserving that it's just, it's amazing. It's really amazing.
It makes it all worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, I mean, the favorite part of my job is, like, being at the events with them and being able to, you know, watch them walk down the red carpet and, watch their film for the first time together, and all of that stuff is really special. So yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a fun job.
I
feel very lucky.
This is audio, so you can't see, but Abby's eyes are shining right now. She thinks it is.
It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
I love that. Well, we talked about this a minute ago. We touched on it. Advice that you have for parents of really young kids who've got big hopes that their kids are going to be actors. And mm-hmm. you said, well, okay, you know, maybe steer them toward commercial for a while.
Yeah.
Any other advice for parents of really young kids who think that their kids would be well suited to go in that direction? Let's just talk to the parents who are doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah, totally.
Most parents, frankly?
I think definitely educating yourself on what the reality of the business is, because it's not as shiny and glamorous as people would think. You know, working with your little baby, like your pride and joy, and knowing that they're going to be facing, like, a large amount of rejection and a lot of work that sometimes leads to nothing. The investment that goes into it, it is a financial investment. It, you know, the headshots aren't cheap. The classes aren't cheap. These things are all needed in order to have a successful actor. And so just being realistic about the time commitment and the financial commitment and all of that is really important. So yeah, educating yourself like that. I think, you know, what you've done for actors and parents in Hollywood too is really important, because
you
have been through it, and being able to listen and understand, like, what they're getting themselves into and what the road is like, because it's just not that easy.
No.
It's like the, you know, I hear this analogy all the time. It's one of my favorite analogies, but being a successful actor in Hollywood is equivalent to an Olympian, like making it to the Olympics, because it's training. It's auditioning all the time. It's, you live it. You live in it.
I think that's an excellent analogy. And I agree completely. It doesn't serve anybody to sugarcoat what it really takes.
Right.
Because you're doing people a huge disservice if you're like, you know, it's easy, it's butterflies and rainbows, come on down Hollywood hiring. It's like, it's really not like that. And people make everybody has their own unique circumstances, and people do make better choices for themselves and their families if they have better information.
Absolutely. So yeah. I think just making yourself really, really super knowledgeable about it, not to a point of fault, because I think that there is also sometimes caring too much, or putting it all in, like all your eggs in one basket, and thinking like this is going to happen. You also have to have the mentality of this might not work out, or it might not work out for 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a long road, but, maybe not 20 years. That would be, that's a little lofty.
There are stories.
But there are stories. There's definitely, you know, people who start as children actors and go through things, but then continue wanting to act. And there's all sorts of different situations, but I think just being ready for it all. And also, once the team is in place and things are in place, just taking a step back on trying to continue managing your, because at a certain point you're kind of giving up what you've been doing for so long if you bring a manager on the team, you know, and not trying to talk to the manager about certain opportunities or send them breakdowns and things like that. I mean, for each manager, it's a different situation, but I would say just trust what they're doing.
Let the manager manage.
Let the manager manage. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Sums it up.
this is a conversation that is, you know, very dear to my own heart and experience, but it is a really fine line for all of us, whether we're parents of young actors or, you know, young adult actors, even just, you know, actors of any age. To simultaneously hold the space for hope and inspiration and a belief mm-hmm. that you can do this. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know, keeping the space for realism and like, and okay, we don't know mm-hmm. what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know. We can't know.
Yeah.
So, something I see a lot is parents who have a really hard time being overly invested in their kids' success.
Yes.
And when their kids aren't successful, they take it so personally yes. and it's so hard for them. It's like, you know what? This is your kid's career. It's mm-hmm. not your career. And there needs to be a little bit of air in there.
You almost have to look at, and there's so much of a luck aspect in the job too. I mean, the pilot, you know, you have a test, you book the pilot doesn't get picked up. You know, you're starting over again, like nothing huge happened. You know, the pilot gets greenlit, it's on for a season, it gets canceled, two seasons, it gets canceled. Like there's all these different aspects of at some point something might happen. And so you have to look at it and expect that the worst might happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, be excited, because if you let yourself have that mentality of always like thinking, well, like it probably won't get picked up, or it probably like you're going to live a miserable life. So yeah. always celebrate every little victory, every callback. Like I think that it's important to be excited about those things and say like, hey, you're doing a great job. Like, look at how you're doing. You booked the room. But also having, you know, the realization that the big moments are bonuses.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, just staying positive for your kids too.
You need to stay positive, because mm-hmm. this is hard enough, mm-hmm. you know, and being positive is what in my eyes creates the possibility for things going well.
Yeah.
You know, nothing guarantees it, but it's like a ground to stand on.
You have to. Yeah. Positive and realistic.
At the same mm-hmm. time.
Yep. Exactly.
Which is a great thing for anybody, regardless of what field they're in. What advice do you have for actors who are just trying to get a manager, you know, here in LA or, you know, in one of the bigger markets? In the bigger markets, it's a hurdle just to get a meeting with somebody decent.
Yeah.
What would you tell them in terms of like how to get a meeting with a good manager, like how to get
sure.
in front of them?
Yeah. So I think first of all, you need to know what you are capable of booking. And it's okay to say, to be honest with yourself and say, I don't think I'm ready to lead a series. It's okay to do that and think, okay, I can do co-stars, guest stars, and I'm going to keep training. Because the worst case situation is getting a rep and going out on these fantastic opportunities and bombing them. Like, you need to be ready. So training is huge. Continuing to build your resume so you have things that you've booked on your own is a huge part of it. And then on terms of when you're submitting to potential managers, being, you know, reasonable with who you're reaching out to and what their client roster looks like and what you could add value to, your age versus your credits, all of these factors go into place. And so just doing your research in that. I mean, IMDb Pro. Like, that is my life. Like, I'm on it looking at clients, like when I'm watching TV shows, like I'm so obnoxious about it. But truly, like, look, do your research, know who you're emailing. Don't email an entire, you know, 100 managers on the same email, like a generic. And nobody wants to do that. I don't want to work with somebody who's, you know, submitted to 100 other people and not looked at me specifically and said, wow, I think I could contribute, and vice versa. And so those are really important. And also being authentic. I get tons and tons and tons of submissions a week. And sometimes I'm just so thrown off with, like, the catchy phrases and, you know, mentioning, like, congrats on the success of such and such client, which is, like, my client. And so I think it's about my client, and I go to look at it, and then it's a pitch from another actor. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to sit down with somebody who's pitching themselves that way and have an authentic conversation and really feel that it would be a good relationship. So being authentic with what makes you special and what you've got, what your training is, what you've done on your own so far. And that's going to catch the attention of a potential manager who would be a fit for you.
Fit is huge.
Yeah, it is.
Fit's really, really important. Yeah. And I agree. I think a lot of the time people are so anxious about getting an agent, getting a manager. It's like, okay, it's like these boxes that you want to tick off.
Yes.
Like, okay,
yes.
I know that to be an actor, I need a headshot and a resume and an agent and maybe a manager. And it's like, until you have those things in place, you're like,
right.
But you know what? It's so much better to take your time and get the right fit.
And not, you know, I'll have actors asking me, well, what should I get first, an agent or a manager? I say, whoever believes in you and whoever's going to put in the work. Like, there's not a right answer for that. And there's not a right answer for every actor that's like a formula. Like, everybody's going to be having a different path.
Now, here's a question, because in California, and I think in New York as well, there is that law that says that only agents can, submit clients, because agents are licensed and bonded and managers are not. It's a different process.
Yeah.
And so how do you personally get around that when you have a client who doesn't have an agent right now?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
I imagine that your management company has an agent they work with. That's a standard.
So, that's part of it. I mean, we can still send out auditions. So I said for the few clients I do have that don't have agencies, which is their choice, we have an attorney at our company. If it's a bigger deal, if it's something that comes through that's going to be need a lot of work, we'll bring an attorney on. Or sometimes it's an opportunity to say, like, hey, maybe we can get you with a really big agency in this moment, which I've also done, you know, just kind of hand them the offer to bring on board. So there's those types of situations. But mostly with the, you know, the smaller bookings, like network TV and all that, like, it's SAG scale. There's nothing to do. Like, you get the same trailer, you get the same terms, and there's nothing to negotiate.
It's
so in that case, it's easy peasy. But yeah, with the bigger deals, if they don't have an agent, it's bringing on that attorney.
Yeah,
and
which
so,
is totally another way to go. And people don't discuss that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Are there times of year that are, I would say, especially better or worse to try and get a talent manager's attention? Like, you know, people who are like, okay, I really want to get a manager now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the obvious answer to that would be pilot season, episodic season, because people have their roster set and they're concentrating on those actors. So that's not to be, I've definitely signed people during those times, though, if I'm really excited about them or if it's a referral, I have. But I think that if you don't have a relationship there, a referral with that specific manager, to wait until post pilot season. Yeah. I mean, this would have, the past couple weeks would have been a good time to do that because, you know, people are changing up their rosters, releasing people that they don't feel are fit anymore and signing new people. So right before the holidays was a good time. And then summer, of course, is a slower time. So that's a great time to send out your resume. And then more specifically, just be mindful about what time of day it is and what day of the week. You know, like I'm probably less likely to respond to somebody on a Saturday or a Sunday than I am when I'm at my desk during the weekdays, you know, 9 to 7, depending on what the day's like. So just be mindful of that too.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah.
Similarly, what do you think is reasonable in terms of communication between a manager and the actor, or the actor's parents if they're young?
Sure. I think for every step of your career, you're going to be in different stages. It's going to change dramatically. So sometimes I work with new actors or new parents and they think that it's supposed to be like a check-in all the time thing. But if there's nothing to check in about, there's not much I can say unless you have huge concerns. Like if you have like grave concerns about if you're doing the right thing or about like, you know, changing classes or whatever it may be, like let's hop on the phone and have that conversation. Usually doesn't have to be that long though. It doesn't need to be lengthy. I can guide you into which direction you should be going and then you go do it.
Without an hour long meeting?
without an hour long meeting. And so I do, you know, I think that for beginning actors, like there isn't going to be as much of that, but you know, if you're in the mix for a role in a film, and oftentimes like independent films, like they can take a really, really long time to decide. Like it can be months. And so it's okay, you know, to check in, and just like see what's going on. And you'll probably get a lot of phone calls from me during that time with updates and emails, texts, whatever. I mean, I across the board communication when it comes to communicating with my clients. But that being said, there isn't always anything to be talking about. Like if you're auditioning and like nothing's happening, then just wait. Like it's, you know, it's going to be different.
And that's okay.
And I don't think you should ever worry about that. I have a lot of friends in this business too. And I think that they all have the same mentality as me. Like I said earlier, if you're on my roster, like I'm working. And same with the agencies. If you're on their roster, they're working for you. They're submitting you. They're not ignoring you.
And just because you're not hearing about it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Oh yeah. And the funny thing is, it's like we see when we're on breakdowns and we're doing our pitches and we see your headshots all day, I feel like I have been speaking with you all day. Like you're always on my mind. You're always on my mind because you're in front of me. Actors are doing other things. They're not necessarily seeing us. You know, they're going to class. They're wondering what's going on. And then they call and I feel like we've like been talking all week because I see them all the time and I'm talking about them. And they're like, man, it's been slow. Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't seem that way on my end because I've been doing a lot of work.
Trying to get you into those rooms.
I've been trying, yeah. So I think just remembering that and keeping that in mind that they're there. They're in the office doing you work and checking in constantly doesn't help at all.
It's sort of like the iceberg, right? Like, you know, you're living with the 80 or 90% under the water.
Yeah.
And the actor sees like the little bit sticking out.
The little bit sticking out. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a really, I got to write down all your analogies here because these are really good. I got to use these.
Well, I'm a big fan of good, powerful, like especially imagistic analogies
because they so important.
Stick in your brain.
It's so important.
What are some of the best things that young actors can do to prepare for success before they even come out to LA? Like, say you don't live in a major market like LA or New York. You know, what are some things that you can do right now, wherever you live, to help prepare if you really have your heart set on having a career as an actor?
Yeah.
What are some advice you would give?
Yeah, I think depending on where you are, finding like the closest area where there's going to be like an Atlanta agency or like a New York agency, or there's even a lot of good ones in Chicago. Like if you live in Iowa, get a Chicago agent. You know, if you there's New Orleans agents. If you live in Florida, like I have a client in Florida and he's doing great and he has a New Orleans agent and he does all this little work down there. Just like he worked on The Purge and he's working on all like a movie that just shot down there, a Tyler Perry movie. And like, so he's doing all these things in order to do everything he can in his market, do all of the work that he, like, graduates from that market to be able to compete with New York, LA actors. And so that's important. Oftentimes it is tricky to find coaching classes, headshots, all of that stuff where there's plenty of great options in New York or LA, but maybe in your area there's not. So if you can't find that, maybe making a trip out to LA to get those things checked off your list, get really professional headshots, you know, get some intensives with some great legitimate acting teachers, and bringing that back and, you know, doing, or Skyping. A lot of coaches offer the Skyping, so that's an awesome opportunity too.
It is, and that's a really good point, because it's funny, a lot of people think, well, it can't be as good if you're Skyping. You know what? It's just the same.
It's just the same, yeah.
It really is. If you're basically face-to-face, if it's a one-on-one coaching situation.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the same as a class. Okay, that's different, but you can get a lot, literally wherever you are, thanks to Skype or Zoom or
whatever. And especially if you already have that rep in New York or LA, you are getting the opportunities, and they're usually larger opportunities, because we're not going to have you go on tape for a small part in order to come out. So doing everything you can with those as well. And it's totally easy to book off self-tape. I don't care what anybody says. I know a lot of people are really discouraged with the way that the industry is going in that. They want to meet the casting director. They want to be in front of them. That's not the way it is. It's changing, and we have to change with it. And so get really good at it.
That is great advice, because there is a lot of actors are like, they drag their feet around it, they hate it, they want to be in the room. It's like, you know what? It's just so much more efficient for casting to have these tapes to blow through, at least on the first or second, you know, series of looks.
It is. It's becoming a big part of an actor's job, and you have to embrace it, and you have to go with it and get good at it.
And if you're not good at it, then they'll never see, you know, what you really can do.
You won't get
into the room.
Yes. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Any other advice for young actors and their parents, especially as it relates to the actor-agent, actor-manager relationship, let's say?
Yeah, I think surrounding yourself with good people, that's what I'm all about. I mean, everybody in my network that I refer my clients to, just work with people that you enjoy and trust and can communicate with, and that you're not scared of, you know. And that's important, and finding that fit. And from there, trusting the process, trusting that the right opportunities will eventually come, is going to lead you to a happier life, like, while you're going through this process, which is oh so important. You have to enjoy the life you have.
I am so happy you said that, because that is so incredibly true. And it's really easy from the outside looking in to be intimidated by it, to feel that the players in the industry, the players in the ecosystem of the industry are like almost not even real people. Mm-hmm. And then that's like intimidating. Yeah. But the truth is, this is an absolutely people-centric business.
Yes.
And the people are real, and the relationships are real.
They're real. And it's a small town, and everyone knows everyone. On the other side of it, I know it seems daunting when you first start looking into getting an agent or manager, and it seems like, wow, there's so many, like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to find the right fit? But we all know each other. Like, we all talk, like, we all know each other's clients. And most of us also know all of the actors in the business, whether they're high profile or not. We know who's on the up and up and who's where. So just keeping that in mind too, that everything you do and every choice you make is important in leading positive relationships, and if the relationships end in a positive way.
Yeah.
So I've always had that mindset too, and just, you know, enjoying who you work with.
Yeah, because it is your life at the end of the day. And I think that what you just said is so important, because you can take that and be completely like paranoid and intimidated, like, oh my God, everything I do is going to matter. And what step can I take without making a mistake?
Yeah.
But in fact, you can flip it perfectly and say, you know what, if I just live with integrity and authenticity,
yes,
the right things are going to happen.
Yes. Yes. Don't let yourself think of it as in a way that's like a formula. I think I have a lot of actors who, you know, I have a lot of actor friends and things, and just starting off in the business or successful, and just asking, like, what is it? Like, what do we have to do? And you can't look at it that way. You have to just make decisions for yourself, and it will come organically.
Yeah. Do your best and be a good human.
Be a good human. Yes. Be a good human. And reply all. That's like my mantra going into the new year. I'm like, reply all.
I should do a special podcast episode with like hot communication etiquette tips.
Please, that would be so fun. That would be so fun. I mean, it is a big part of it. Like, you know,
it's a business.
Yeah, it's a business. It's a business.
You do have to treat it like a business as well, regardless.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share, Abby?
I think that's it. I really appreciate you having me on here, and I think it's great what you're doing for, it makes our job a lot easier when we can start working with young actors or parents who have been able to hear about what all of this is about. So thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Yes.
Thanks for being on.
Great.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, take a second and subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com, sign up at the bottom of the homepage, and you'll get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you're a young actor or just curious about how your favorite actors got their start, buy my new book, Young Hollywood Actors, on Amazon. And if you're the parent of a young actor, you can get the Hollywood Parents Guide on Amazon too. Finally, for one-on-one coaching, invest in a consultation session with me over phone, Skype, or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.